40, chapter number 40, and here, probably, for those who have been in church a lot, a familiar verse amongst the group that we're going to look at here, Isaiah chapter 40. I want to start in verse number 28, in Isaiah chapter 40. Verse number 28, I'm going to read down to verse number 31, and you know, although they're not... There's several verses there. They're not real long. So would you read those verses with me? We're going to read that group of verses, verse 28 to verse 31, right to the end of Isaiah 40, together, please, as we look at it and read it out loud. Would you read with me as we begin in verse 28? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Notice verse 28 again, please, where the Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord. Then he goes on and talks about him as the creator and the one who provides so many wonderful things. The Bible tells us that God is an everlasting source for us, an everlasting source. Now this happens, I'm here to tell you, and what I'm about to share with you was not a personal story, but it does happen. Missionaries, as they seek out the Lord's grace, they need some financial support, and they call churches and pastors and talk to them, as I have many times. Here's a story I found about one particular situation. A missionary visited a pastor and inquired about financial support. What group are you associated with? The pastor asked. The man replied, well, I belong to the Invisible Church. Well, pastor continued to probe. Well, what church are you a member of personally? Again, the same answer. I belong to the Invisible Church. Well, now a little suspicious, the minister asked, well, when does the Invisible Church meet? And who's the pastor? Maybe I know him. The missionary then became upset and incensed. And he said, well, your church here isn't the true church. I belong to the Invisible Church, he said. Finally, the preacher opened up his empty hands and said, well, here's some invisible money to help you plant your invisible church. Sources. It's important where we get things, where they come from, and who we rely on for everyday needs. The physical and the spiritual can be weakened or strengthened, depending on our sources. The best source is one that does not tire or run out of supply. The Bible tells us and gives us some reasons why we can count on the everlasting sources of God. If you're taking notes, that's the title this morning, The Everlasting Sources of God. Man, I need some sources that last, don't you? I need some things that I can count on, some things that I know the Lord's going to have. And he says, here they are, here they are. He gives us in these verses three specific things I'd like to share with you that he can be counted on for. And he says, I've got everlasting sources, so count on me. The everlasting sources of God is what we're looking at this morning. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us as we look in the Bible and go from there. Heavenly Father, how we thank you. We can call you our Heavenly Father and know that you hear, that you exist, that you've created all things that we see. You sustain them even today, Lord. Even right now, our very breath is because of your gracious hand. Now, Lord, I pray, help us to look to you as our source. So oftentimes we get our eyes off you and get them on ourselves, or we get them on some other individual or thing. We ask God, would you help us to see you today? Would you help us to see you for who you really are? Lord, I pray that you would open the heart, peel back the scriptures, and show us what the Spirit would have us to do, Lord, so that we can follow and honor you today. Father, if there's a change that needs to be made in our own walk with you, those that know Christ, Father, help us not to wait. Lord, help us not to put it aside, but yet get it right with you today. Lord, if there's a soul right now that's here with us or listening to the scriptures, Lord, I pray who needs Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray that would be taken care of today. There's no better day to call on Jesus. I pray, Father, you would open the eyes and understanding that they can have a Savior right now. Father, I just pray that you'd be with us as we look in the Bible. Would you fill me with your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The everlasting sources of God. The Bible tells us that number one, God instructs with unlimited understanding. Unlimited understanding. You and I have limited understanding. If we were to go around the room, we'd probably find there's various levels of limited understanding amongst us, but the bottom line is none of us have unlimited understanding. But the Bible says God does. Look at verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Now, Isaiah, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he's recording what God wants him to say. This particular book, the book of Isaiah, was to be delivered to the children of Israel. And he said, haven't you known, don't you hear about the everlasting God, the Lord? He's almost telling them, you've heard this 1,000 times. Don't you understand? There's no limit on what God knows about us, about what goes on around us, the circumstances, the situations. He says, he fainteth not, and neither is weary. The Bible tells us, number one, God has given his wisdom to us in the Bible. He's given his wisdom to us in the Bible. Would you turn with me, please? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Something we've got to understand. If we want to know what God wants, we cannot separate it from his word. This is what he's given to you and me to find out specifically what his plan and will is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13 is where we're looking. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now notice this, which effectually worketh, as also in you that believe. God has given his wisdom to us in the Bible. Apostle Paul is telling us here, he's telling the folks in Thessalonica, he said, when we came, you're blessed, you're an honor to God, an honor to us as well, because when we began to share with you the truths of the Bible, the truths of the gospel, you took the things we said as God's message to you, as God's word. And then he says the reason why it's such a good thing is because it effectually works in you, and especially in you that believe. Believe in God, believe in Christ, and believe in his word, which effectually worketh. The word effectually literally means this, works. It works and works and works. It continues to work as we open it up and put it in our heart and mind. The wisdom of God, you can't separate it from the Bible. Friends, the truth of the matter is, it's a blessing to have God's word. And in our church, you know, if you've been here more than once, we honor the word of God on Sundays. But on Mondays, it's up to us. On Monday, it's an individual choice. Tuesday, Wednesday, every other day, it's up to you. Where is the word of God in its importance to you? God has given his wisdom to us in it. And I'm here to tell you, his wisdom's far better than mine. Is it better than yours? His wisdom, it's unlimited. The Bible tells us, secondly, the Holy Spirit illuminates the wisdom for application in our life. The Holy Spirit illuminates, that is, he sheds light on it, what we can apply personally. We find this in the book of James, James chapter 1. If you're still in the New Testament, would you turn there, the book of James chapter 1. And I'm looking at verse number 22, starting there. Verse number 22, the Holy Spirit illuminates the wisdom for our application. James chapter 1, starting in verse number 22, please follow along as I read. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Application, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Holy Spirit illuminates the wisdom for our application in our life. The Bible says, interestingly, look at verse number 23 and 24. If a be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, that is, seeing his reflection in a glass, looking into a mirror. We would apply it that way to us, would be like looking into a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now I know you're getting tired of hearing about deer, but I'm not tired about talking about them. Let me share one story about beholding your face in the glass and yet walking away without changing anything. A friend of mine and I were out hunting and saw the deer, and there were two of them. And we use these deer, by the way, for those who aren't, they're a little squeamish about that. We use them. We put them in our family's home, and they're part of our diet on a regular basis. So if you want to talk about that later, we can, but that's why we go out hunting. You don't have to do that. You can come over to my house and I'll cook you one, okay? But he saw one, I saw one, roughly about the same time. He shot, I shot. His went that way, mine went that way. And so we decided after a little bit of time, if you're a hunter, that's what you do. You wait a little while, and let's go check it out. Let's see if there's any blood trail. That's part of the job. So we went out there, and boy, on his side, all over the place. He knows he got that deer. So he said, I'm going to go get this one. And why don't you check out? And I saw a few drops here and there. I thought, oh boy, I don't know if I hit this one or not, but I'm going to try and follow it. Well, he went his way. I went mine. Every now and then I'd see a few more drops, saw the trails going on. Well, that deer, wherever it went, it began to go into thick brush with the pricklies and the stickers and the thorns. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, you don't plant those things, but they're everywhere. When you walk out in the field, pricklies and thorns. And these things seem to grow on trees. They're just coming right down on my face. And I was looking around, where's the next spot? Where's the next spot? And I was having trouble. Finally, he had called me on his cell phone. I found mine. Where are you at? Here I am. Can we try and check it out together? Well, when he finally got to me, it had been a couple of hours. I hadn't seen anything. And he looked up at me and he said, have you seen any blood? I said, no, I haven't seen it for a while. He said, well, maybe the blood you have seen is from your face. All those pricklies had been scraping me and my face was bloodied up. Man. And you said, well, probably improved your looks. Well, maybe it did. I don't know. But the point is this. I didn't know. You know, the Bible says, if we look and hear the word of God, we read it, we hear it, its message is clear to us, and it says, here's what you must do. By the way, how many know the Bible tells us? That's what it tells us. Here's what you must do, and we say nothing. We walk away, the Bible says, and do nothing. We're like someone who's got that bloody face, who's hurting and needs attention, and yet doesn't get it because they avoid trying to apply what the Bible says. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Bible says if you know him as your Savior, you know Christ is your Savior, the Holy Spirit's with you, he illuminates the scriptures and he shows you when God says, here's what you must do. Now then he makes us, it's up to us whether we do it. Notice verse number 4. Here's what it says. Verse 24 in James 1. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth. Now that word forgetteth does not mean it's no longer in my memory. Here's what it means. I do nothing. That's what it means. Straightway he forgetteth, neglects, or does nothing what manner of man he was. Then notice verse 25 again. For whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that is in what he sees in the scriptures, and says, okay, I will do what the Lord tells me, he being not a forgetful hearer, not doing nothing, but a doer of the work, this man shall be, what's the word there? Blessed. Blessed, especially in the New Testament, means this, happy, happy in his deed. Hey, it's a blessing to be able to obey what Jesus says, do what God says, but it's even better to do it with a happy countenance, a happy way of following what he says. The Holy Spirit illuminates the wisdom for application. A third thought about instructions from our unlimited source in God, Jesus, we have the Father who's given us his word. We have the Holy Spirit lights it up for us when we open it. And we have Jesus has illustrated the wisdom for our example. Turn with me, if you would, the New Testament again, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus has shown us how to do it. How to do it. Hey, praise the Lord, man. I'm all for book learning. That's important. You've got to have it down. You've got to know some of the details that others have learned and put it in books for us. And man, praise God. But the truth of the matter is, we need to put into practice and make it practical in our lives. And that's by doing and obeying and seeing it put in practice is one of the best ways to learn. John chapter 4, look at verse number 34. Well, let me start with verse 31. Verse 31. This is when Jesus, remember, he went to a well in Samaria. There was a woman there that said she would like to help him, give him something to drink. Well, he made it a spiritual truth to this lady. He said, now I have water that you'll never thirst of. If you drink thereof, you'll thirst no more. Talking about that new life in Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible tells us she went away to tell others in her village. And while she was gone, verse number 31 talks about a little discourse between him and his disciples. He says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him or asked him, saying, Master, eat. It had been a long day, long time apparently since they had some something to eat. And then he said in verse 32, but he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Did you give him something? Were you the one that he's talking about, this meat we don't know about? Verse 34, he lays it out. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Who sent Jesus to this earth, by the way? God the Father. How many know John 3:16? Would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father sent him. Jesus illustrates to you and me, here's how you do it. He's the one who's the example for applying the wisdom of God. You know, God instructs with unlimited understanding. And folks, we need to start getting that in our minds, that God knows more better than the experts do. God knows more than you and I do. God knows what's going on, the surroundings, the circumstances. He even knows the future. How many knew that God knows the future? Yeah, he knows it. Every detail of it, as well as the past. God instructs with unlimited understanding. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, fainteth not, neither is weary. Number two. God increases strength with unlimited power. Go back to Isaiah 40, please, with me. We heard from verse 28. Let's look at verse 29. God increases strength. He doesn't just give strength. He increases strength, the Bible says, with unlimited power. Look at verse number 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. How many have ever felt like you had no strength at all? Man, have you ever felt that way before? When I was a young man, it was before we were married. My wife and I were married. I was still a college student. I had contracted mononucleosis. Anyone ever had that? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand about that. Mononucleosis, it attacks your immune system. And it takes roughly 3-4 weeks to completely be gone. A lot of times what they do is they give you steroids to get your body jump started, basically, because it just robs you of any kind of strength. Just to get up out of a chair is beyond your ability. I remember laying down on the couch and I had to get up just to throw something away in the trash can, which was about 10 feet away. And I didn't want to do it. I had no strength at all. The Bible here says, those that have no strength, the Bible says, God has an unlimited power to increase that strength. Now, not to necessarily give you bulging muscles, but spiritually, yes. Spiritually, in dealing with the struggles of life, he increases strength. The Bible says, here's a few thoughts about the strength that we can enjoy, the unlimited power. He says, number one, he gives power when we lack nourishment. He gives power when we lack nourishment. John chapter 6, again, Jesus is talking here. In verse 32, he says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You see, Jesus is the nourishment for our soul. How much of you tried to have fellowship with Jesus? Now, he's not here bodily. Yeah, there's no address that he's living at that you can go visit, but he is in this book. We have him from cover to cover in the Bible. We read about his specific times in the world in the Gospels. We read about what he does, what he can do, why he can provide the nourishment you need to overcome the things, the struggles in life. The Bible says he gives power when we lack nourishment. He increases strength even when it is beyond understanding how and where it comes from. He increases strength, secondly, when we have nothing left. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, you may know the verse. I can do all things through who? Through Christ. What's the rest of the verse? Which strengtheneth me. Yeah. You see, my friend, when you called on Christ to save you, you didn't know what you had, did you? I didn't. I was 6 years old when I got saved. Praise God. And you have a testimony this morning about putting faith and trust in the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you didn't know everything he was, did you? I didn't know everything. Man, as I open up the Word of God, I find out that Jesus Christ can give strength every day. And not just every day. Listen to this. I can do all things. In everything I do, he can give strength. How does he provide the strength? Well, I've got to give him the glory for it. I've got to look at what I do as if Jesus were doing this, what would he do? How is he getting glory through this? He increases strength when we have nothing left. Thirdly, the Bible tells us that his provision is timely when our time is short. Going back to the Old Testament, would you look in Genesis chapter 18 with me? His provision is timely when our time is short. None of us have the guaranteed date of when we'll go see the Lord in heaven. But we know this, that for some of us, if we live out a natural life, time is short. For some of us, if that sickness begins to grow or get worse, our time is short. Some of us, we have so many other things to do, we know that in order to spend time on this project or circumstance, our time is short. Here, let me take us to someone who had shortness in their time. At least they thought, first of all, they thought their time was over. But Genesis chapter 18 gives us a picture of how God can provide. His provision is timely when our time is short. I'm in chapter number 18. Look with me, please. We're looking at starting verse number 11. I'm sorry. Let me start in verse 9. Verse number 9. That sets it for us. And they said unto him, these were three men that came to visit Abraham. I believe one of them was the Lord Jesus. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? How old were they, by the way? At this time, Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was 90. I would say that's usually beyond the time that women have babies. And by the way, they didn't live a whole lot longer after that, especially Sarah. But the Bible tells us here was the Christophany, the messengers from God, and Jesus in physical form telling them, hey, you're going to have a child just like I promised. Now listen. Did God give Abraham a promise that he would have an heir and that God would disperse that heir and all of the others that would follow him as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the sky? He sure did. But year number 87 came by. Lord, Sarah and I have been married a long time. Is everything okay? Is that promise still good? Year number 91 came by for Abraham. Lord, you know, he got a little nervous. Bible says as a matter of fact, Sarah got nervous too. Bible says she gave Abraham her handmaid to have an heir. He did have another son at the time. His name was what? Ishmael. Most believe, and I think it's true, that it's through Ishmael, the Arabic countries were descended from. But here was Abraham. Here was Abraham. Year number 97 comes by. Lord, is it Ishmael? God says, no, it's not him. Year number 99. Now 100 comes by. He's an old man. 100 years old was old at that time too. The promise has got to be it's got to be past time, Lord. And what did he tell him? This time next year. You know, the truth of the matter is, we put God on a stopwatch. You know, I've started praying for this, Lord, and I don't know, you're running out of time. When God's timing is always the best. God's timing is always right. Ours is a little off his time most of the time. But the truth of the matter is, we need to get on his clock and not him on ours. The Bible tells us that he is unlimited in his strength. He is unlimited in his ability to increase our strength. Even when our time seems short, when things seem tough, God is there. When things seem hopeless, God has already mapped the way through. And when Satan tells us that we are insignificant, like the Bible here tells us, he that giveth power to the faint, God shows us that he cares by giving power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Are you trusting in that unlimited strength, that unlimited power? God says, look to me for the source. Look to me. Final thought, if we go back to Isaiah, would you turn there again? Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look at the last couple verses of the chapter. Verse number 30 and 31. Isaiah chapter 40 is where we're at. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Final thought I'd like to share with you this morning is this. God renews our spirit with unlimited love. God renews our spirit with unlimited love. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. New again, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. When we get tired and tempted to quit, he wants us to know that he doesn't get tired. God does not run out of strength. He does not run out of his supply. He constantly cares. You can trust him to never let you down. The month of March, we're having our good friend, Dr. Rick Flanders. He's going to be here for revival meetings. I trust you'll plan to be here for each service. they're going to be a blessing. I want to tell you something. I would like to have renewed strength before the month of March. How many of you would like that? Yeah. God says, if you look to me as your source, I can renew your running. I can renew your walk to a point where the faintness of the walk, of the journey, will seem like nothing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. Look with me, if you would, Romans chapter 8. It talks about this in the life in Jesus Christ, that we can count on that unlimited love to renew our strength. Romans chapter 8 is where I'm going to, starting in verse number 37. Let's take a look. Now, this is a mouthful, so I'm going to ask you to join me on these verses. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 37. I'm going to read down to verse number 39, so to the end of the chapter. The Bible talks about God renewing our strength, especially through Christ. Let's read those verses together, please, starting in verse 37 down to verse 39. Let's begin. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what I find interesting in these verses? I find interesting not what is there, but what isn't there. Notice what it says in verse number 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You know what often we want? It's not the love of God we want, it's the presence of God we want. Where are you? Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I would guess anyone who's prayed to God before has asked him that question. Where are you? And it's his presence that we so desperately want to see. Can I share with you? It's his love that we need more. Look at what he says. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And how do we get it? Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know the word Lord in the New Testament means? It means this: Master. Master. Can I ask you this question? If you receive Christ as Savior, do you give him permission? Amazingly, the creator of everything we see, who gives us breath when we wake up in the morning and go to bed at night, and everything in between, he gives us the choice to allow him to work in us. Can I tell you something? That's love. That's love. I wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. We like being in control of things. But here's God. Here is the everlasting source. Would you receive it from me? Can I ask you this morning, if you're here, you've never asked God to save you, would you receive that everlasting Savior this morning? Call on him. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Would you call on him by faith, asking him to save you, your soul? Your soul that deserves to pay for its own sin. But Jesus paid it all on the cross for us. You're saved this morning, praise God. You've got a testimony and you can shout about it. Let me ask you this. Is Jesus the master over your day today? Today. We know he's the Lord. Amen? Amen. By the way, no matter what we do, Jesus is still the Lord. Amen. But is he master over your life? Does he have the wheel? Is he mapping out the directions to go? I tell you what, I use Google. How many use Google all the time? Or what's the other one? Alexa or whatever. You know, you speak into the phone. If it wasn't for that phone, man, we never would have made it back from Washington, D.C. I may never find you someday without that phone, you know. God knows the best route to take. He's mapped it out already. And all he says is, why don't you accept my invitation? Because nothing can separate you from me and the love I have for you. A factory had a large sign inside that read, when your machine has problems, call the foreman. Big sign, big letters. A young man who was new on the job began to run into trouble on his machine. Parts became tangled, and so he tried straightening it out himself. His efforts saw only the situation to get worse. Finally, in defeat, he called the foreman. The foreman arrived. The man said, I did the best I could. No, you didn't, said the foreman. You worked hard, but you didn't do the best. To do the best, you should have called me. You should have called me. What is your source for counsel or strength or even a renewed love? What is your source? God says you can make him your source. Did you know that? Because his supply is everlasting, it says in the Bible. If you come to the God of the Bible as your source, he has that everlasting supply. What are your needs today that need to be met and can only be met by the Heavenly Father, by our Savior Jesus, by the leading and direction of the Holy Spirit? Hey, God has a plan for you. And guess what? His plan is the best. His plan's the best. We can all give testimony of how ours is the worst, ours messed up, but his is the best. Maybe it's time to get back on his map. Follow his directions. Make him the source. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see what you see in our own life, Lord. In our own life, personally, between you and me. Oh God, I pray, would you use this time of invitation to help us to accept your gift of strength, your gift of counsel and wisdom, your gift of renewal, and the love that it requires from you to get it. Oh God, would you help us to respond to you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask, would you stand with me, please? Would you stand with me as we consider what the Lord would have us to do? Maybe you're here this morning, you need Christ as your Savior. In a moment, I'm going to step down. I'd like to talk to you about that. I'd like to talk to you about that. God has a simple plan for us to know him. And I've got it right here. I'd like to talk to you about that. Would you come up and talk with me if that's the need when the instruments begin to play? Christian friend, maybe your source has been something else. Maybe it's been someone else. And you realize now, oh man, it's not been everlasting. It's a source that's been running dry. And yet God's never does. Would you accept his invitation to take him as your everlasting source? Talk to him about it. Make a step for him. Whatever the Lord leads you to do in regards to his word, would you respond? The organ's going to softly play in just a moment, and when she does, you'll be the first one to step out. Ask God to take this need you've got. Maybe burden, maybe just a simple step. And yet you can go through it with him. As she begins to play, would you call on the Lord now? If you need Christ, I'm going to step down to the floor right now. I've got the Bible. I can lead you to the Lord. Many of us can, but I'd like to open up the Bible and show you just how to do it, if that's your need. As she plays, would you respond?